Thank you. Thank you, Franco. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's nice to see you. Oh, you're right, Tom, don't worry. You can if you like. So, isn't it a lovely day? It's gorgeous, isn't it? The sunshine and all that. But it's brilliant to be here. It's brilliant to be with Jesus. Brilliant to be in church, which is so absolutely important for the transformation of our lives and the strengthening of our lives as Christians. And if you're just looking into the Christian faith, you're not a Christian yet, then it's the best place to come to hear about Jesus. And church is the what I'm speaking about this morning is the value that we're hitting this morning as we go through the values. We've had lots of different values. We've had the gospel and the Holy Spirit and revival and the Bible and mission and prayer and brotherhood and sisterhood. That Stuart did that last week. So I'm going to do church. And here's what Peter says in his letter, the Apostle Peter. Apostle Peter, who Jesus said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build this church. I will build my church." Jesus into building churches. And Peter says in his letter, "As you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'Look, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and anyone who puts his trust in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And he's a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that will make them fall. They stumble because they disbelieve the message, which is what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So Peter says, look, Jesus is the living stone that God sent to this earth. God's building something, right? He's building his kingdom on this earth. He's always been building it, actually. And he doesn't build with brick and mortar and stuff like that. God's not really bothered about buildings. Tom, I think it was Ian, already said that this morning. He's not bothered about where we meet as a church. He's not that into buildings. What God builds with is you and me. He builds with people. And he builds those people on one person, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, build your life on Jesus Christ. If you build your life on anyone else, you know, some superstar or some guru or some other leader of another religion, you are building your life on sand. This is what the Bible says. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. Jesus, Peter says, is the living stone. He was a living stone that actually was rejected by men. The builders who were building God's kingdom, all the religious leaders of the day, the priests and the Pharisees and the religious leaders and teachers of the law, were building the Jewish religion and the kingdom of God, building, building, building. And then they got Jesus. And you know what? He didn't fit. They didn't like him. He didn't fit. Where does he fit? He doesn't fit. Where will he fit in with us? He's nothing like us. So they rejected him. They totally rejected him. They got the stone and they hide it. We don't want you. They literally took Jesus outside of the city of Jerusalem and they killed him. They crucified him outside the city. They rejected him. They threw him out and they killed him. But you know, he's the living stone. You can't keep a good man down and you can't keep the best man down, even with death. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead just as he said he would, having died on the cross for all of our sins. He is the living stone, and God's building the world in the future on that one stone of Jesus. And Peter says, look, as you come to him, you get built as well. Your life will start to be built in the right way as you come to him. So here's the first question, brothers and sisters, this morning. Have you come to him yet? You have to come to this stone, Jesus Christ. This stone rejected by men. He's still rejected by men. Not many people in here this morning. He's still rejected by this world. Will you, if you want to go to heaven and have your sins forgiven and know God and build your life, you've got to come to him. You've got to leave the city and go to Golgotha. You've got to go to where he died. You've got to go to him. You've got to leave this world. You've got to step away from maybe some pals and some things and maybe what your family think. I don't know. I had to. You have to leave this world and come to him. As you come to him, who is rejected by men. Have you been rejected by men? Most of us have been totally rejected by people in our lives. I know what rejection's like. Jesus knows what rejection is like. But the interesting thing about Jesus, he rejects nobody. He said, whoever comes to me, I will never reject them. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me, come to me, come to me. We're like living stones here. We're all like little stones with legs. The stones, normal stones, don't have legs, but we do. We're living stones. And Jesus says, come to me and be built, and I'll build you. I'll build your life. I'll show you where you should be, where you should go. I'll show you who you really are. I won't reject you. In fact, I'll heal you of that rejection. I'll heal your broken heart. I'll sort your life out as you come to me. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men. Yeah, Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected by men. All of us experience rejection. I experienced loads of rejection when I was a kid. First of all, I didn't have a lot going for me. First of all, I was brought up in Billingham. You know what I mean? I mean, that doesn't help for starters, does it? You know, there's Nepal, Tibet, Billingham, isn't there? I was brought up in Billingham, and it was all right because we were really poor, came from a really poor background, really poor council estate. But I was surrounded by loads of family, loads of cousins, all the McCabes, and an older brother. So I never had any bother ever in school because everyone knew our family. So I was quite protected, you know, even though it was 1970s. School was dangerous, right? But I was all right until my dad got a little bit of money. He was the first person in Billingham to buy a council house. All of our cousins, everyone laughed heads off at him. What are you buying your house for? No one buys the house. You just pay the council every week, every month. That's what you do. And but my dad had an idea that he would buy it. So he bought his house. And they stopped laughing a year later when he sold it for twice the price. So then we were going up, you see, in the world. We're going to get out of Billingham. So he eventually said, right, we're going to move to this place called Nunthorpe. I said, Nunthorpe? Where the heck's Nunthorpe? Why would you leave Billingham to go to Nunthorpe? But we did anyway. We went to Nunthorpe, which felt like going to the other end of the world to me. It's like going to live in California or something. We bought this big house in Nunthorpe and went to live there. And suddenly, and all my cousins were back in Billingham. And my brother had just got big enough to go to a big school. Now we're still in junior school, last couple of years of junior school. But I thought I'd be all right because it's a posh school now. But you know what? posh kids aren't very nice, are they? And I went to school. I went to school to St. Bernadette's in Nunthorpe. All posh little kids and all that. And they all wanted to fight me. Everyone wanted to fight me straight away. I'd never had a fight in my life. Never had to. Suddenly they all want to fight me. The little chubby kid from Billingham. Let's batter him. Every day they were giving me loads of grief. And I had to walk home. And one of the first fight I had, these lads came up to me at lunchtime and said, "You see him? Yeah. He's going to batter you." And I looked at him and thought, "Yeah, he is. You're right. He's going to batter you on the way home." And I thought, I don't like being here. And I thought, I've got to get home. I'm walking. How can I get out of the way? And I couldn't, you know. And they all said, "He's going to batter you." So we left the school. And he had a big, massive gang of people all walking with him who loved him. And I was walking on my own. Thanks. At least you're there. And I was walking on my own, and they were all singing this song. "Roddick's going to be dead. Dead. Roddick." It was not very encouraging, I tell you. We walked towards this little bit of grass, and they held his coat, and I had to hang my coat on this little tree because no one would hang my coat. Terrible. It's a big tree now. This was 40 years ago. Don't worry, I'm all right, I'm over it. But anyway, and I never had a fight in my life, and he was coming at me with all this kung fu stuff, you know. Hey, oh, hey. I thought, what do you do? I'd only seen cowboy movies where they just smacked people in the face as hard as they could. So I did, and I battered him. Come on! And because every time he came, I just whacked him in the face as hard as I could because I thought that's what he did. And it works, apparently. If you're ever in a fight, listen, while they're doing the kung fu stuff, just whack him in the face as hard as you can. But it was horrible, actually. It was a horrible experience, having to fight and being rejected and just not being in. Being rejected, horrible, isn't it, rejection? It's terrible. You're all right, but not you. Who's going to play footy? I'll have Yosef, Kozer and Mozer, but not him. He's rubbish. Thanks. You think, oh, hey, it doesn't just end in the playground, does it? It goes right through the whole of your life, at work and relationships. Rejection is a painful thing. Rejection. You can even reject yourself, can't you? Most of us don't really love ourselves, don't even like ourselves. Not till you come to Jesus and he heals that. Then you get massive rejection. Then you have the rejection of divorce and rejection of... Sometimes your parents reject you. It's terrible. Brothers and sisters reject you. People betray you. Jesus was rejected all of his life by this world. Rejected. He's described in the Bible as a man of sorrows, totally familiar with suffering. People who did not esteem him, it says. He's the type of person who you turn your face away from. You just turned away from him. Didn't turn to him. Jesus turned away. Oh, there's Jesus. We turned away from him. This world, the rulers of this world, the people who had the power, the big movers and shakers, had nought to do with Jesus because they thought he was no one. But the amazing thing is, in fact, the Bible says it was marvelous in our eyes, is this. The stone the builders rejected, we don't want you, has become the cornerstone. That's where God's building now. He's not building here anymore. He's building there. When they threw Jesus out, God was with him. And God started building his kingdom on his son, Jesus, the rejected, suffering servant. And as you come to him, that stone rejected by men, your life begins to be built and built and built. Here's what Peter says. He says he was rejected by men, but he was chosen by God. Wow. I'd rather be chosen by God than by men, wouldn't you? I'd rather be chosen by God than a million men. Because men are fickle, and they'll choose you one day and reject you the next. But you know what? God's not like that. Your heavenly Father chooses you, and he chooses you forever. I believe every person in this room has been chosen by God. I don't believe everyone in the whole world is. I don't. But I do believe that you've been. Do you know why? Honestly, it's not rocket science. You wouldn't be here. You would not get this close to Jesus Christ if God wasn't speaking to you and calling you. You say, oh, I've just come with him. No, no, it's bigger than that. Oh, I was invited. Yeah, I know you were. But you could not get this close unless God himself was calling you. I've been preaching for 35 years all over the world to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and I can tell you it's a fact. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me is drawing him. It's an impossibility. People spent all their lives looking for God. But for you to get this close, that's not a coincidence. This is your chance. This is your opportunity to come to him. Are you still free to choose? Of course you are. God can choose you, but you've still got to choose him. You have to come to him yourself. You have to come to him, that living stone. You have to come to Jesus. And that might mean a bit of an exodus from some other bits of your life. Well, it's worth it. He's worth it. If you want to go to heaven, if you want your sins forgiven, if you want to live the actual good life, the best life you can live on this earth, you have to come to him, Jesus, and build your life on him. And let him get hold of your life and put you where he wants you. He said, I will build my church. Wow. Tom doesn't build this church, and I don't. You haven't come to Amazing Grace. You haven't come to me. You haven't come to Tom. You've come to Jesus. We're gathered around Jesus. That's what makes churches happen. They gather around Jesus. People are drawn to Jesus. And he starts to build them together. You go there. You come here. You stand there. You go there. And you've got feet. You can still walk off, of course. But actually, the best life is when you let Jesus build you into his church. I will build my church, he says. You've been chosen by God. God has chosen you, and he's poured his love out upon you, and that's never going to change. You can fail, you can fall, you can wander off, you can do your own thing, but he still loves you, and he still calls you, come back to the stone, come to my son, be built, be connected, be cemented in, be joined in. That's what he does. Like Tom said about the sea. God's love just goes on and on and on and on, bigger than our sins, bigger than our failings, bigger than our hang-ups and hurts and troubles of life, and just bigger. Once he's committed to you, once you've said yes to him, God takes it really seriously. It's a covenant relationship. It's like a marriage or an adoption. The Bible describes it as both of those things, an adoption. He's adopted you into his family. If you're willing to come to the stone, God adopts you into his family. You're his child. You're his son and daughter. That's a big deal. Once you're adopted, hey, that's legal. You ain't going anywhere. Have you ever been to a real orphanage? I've been to some real orphanages like they used to have in the old days that you don't see around here anymore. I was in Azerbaijan once preaching. Azerbaijan. Don't try saying that after a bottle of wine. Azerbaijan. And we'd been to Baku, and we were traveling to this town called Gensha, that was an absolute nightmare of a hole of a place. I mean, Billingham looks like Hollywood compared to this place. Massive unemployment, it was freezing, it was dark, it was miserable. I was sleeping in this bed shaped like that was wet. Kept your shoes on and your clothes on all night, you know. And I was really missing Margaret and just wanted to go home, you know. I thought, man, there was someone starting a church there. Good luck. I'm going to wreck it. No. But anyway, bless him. He's doing his best. We were encouraging him, meeting him, me and Phil Hilsden. And I just wanted to go home. But he one day said to me, we're going to go and see the orphanage today. So, oh, I thought, that's good. See some little kids. I was missing my own kids. See some little kids, and we're going to take them to the baths. I thought, oh, that sounds good. Take a bunch of little kids to the baths. Sounds fun, doesn't it? So we got in this little freezing cold larder car with a heater that didn't work and went into the city to this orphanage. And you might have seen movies or old news of Romania and stuff. You see these orphanages. These little kids came out of this orphanage all bundled up in loads of clothes, loads of secondhand clothes. You couldn't tell how old they were. They were just like round, you know. Little kids are so cute. You know, they climbed in the back of this little scraggy old minibus. And we were following them in this ladder. And we headed out of the city. And, you know, I thought, where's the baths, you know? Where are we going? Just fields. And it turned down this little track. And then we're going to this farm. I thought, the baths. And then we got out in this little courtyard place. It was freezing. And then we went into what was like these stables, looked like stables. And they had rows of baths. Like, you know, like a bath you get in at home. Little baths. And I just thought, oh, this day's going downhill fast, you know. And these poor little kids, they were stripping them off, freezing, and putting them in these baths with cold water. The poor little kids were crying. And I just thought, flipping heck, my life's awesome, and this stinks, and I just want to get out of there, you know. But isn't it amazing when someone chooses a kid who's suffering that and adopts them? I know some people have done it, and brings them over here or somewhere else or USA or something. They adopt them into their family and save them from all that. And they bring them into their family. It's like a legal thing, signed legal. They're part of their family. They've been adopted. Right, you get a little kid from a situation like that. Do you think when they get to teenager years, they might have a few issues? You bet they will. Do you think they might kick off a bit? Do you think they might cause all sorts of trouble? Yeah. But here's the question. Are they ever going back? Never. Never. And listen, that's you and God. If God has chosen you as his kid, you have all sorts of issues, and so do I. You can kick off, you can fail, you can fall as God heals your heart and as you get healed of life's hassles. But he never, ever sends you back. He never gives up on you. He never fails you because he's chosen you. Jesus was rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You're precious to God. You are very precious to God. He loves you. That's why you're here listening to this. He's speaking his love to you. He's showing you his love. He wants you to receive it and believe it. Start to believe it and let him build your life. Build it on this rock so that it can be something awesome. So that at the end of your life, you haven't built it on, you know, football. Some people, you know, our kids play football. And I'm stood next to people and I'm building my life on Jesus. I have since I was 17 years old. But I'm stood next to people who are literally, man, they are building their life on football. Oh, God bless them. The poor things. Hey, I promise you that at the end of your life, Middlesbrough football team will not gather around your bed to support you on your deathbed. They won't. But someone will, called Jesus. He'll support you on your deathbed and take you all the way into the kingdom of God. You need to build your life on something that counts. You can do many things in your life, but don't build your life on anything else. Not money. Money, if I just get a bit more money. People build their lives on money. What a mistake that is. It says 1,000 times in the Bible what a mistake that is. To build your life on money. You came with nothing. You're going with nothing. Don't end this life full of regret. Brothers and sisters, don't do it. Don't get to the end of this life. No one at the end of their life says, I wish I'd spent more time in the office. They don't. I wish I'd earned a bit more money. I wish I'd earned... They don't. They say things like, I wish I knew God for real. I wish I hadn't sinned so much. I wish I'd done something good with my life. I wish I'd helped other people. Listen, you're not at that point. Rewind to today. Make your decision today. I'm going to build my life on Jesus. He's going to show me what to do with it to make it count, to make it precious, to make it God's life. I'm not just going to build my life like everyone else does on the shifting sand of the culture. I'm going to build my life on the rock of ages who never moves, Jesus, who's full of love, who's full of grace and kindness to you always forgives you, always supports you, always helps you. Money's awesome. And do you know who else are awesome? The most awesome people you'll ever meet. Us! Jesus' people! We're awesome! I know we're a pain in the backside, and I know we fail, and I know we sin. The church is a bit of a mess, but you know what? It's the best mess you'll ever find on this earth, because at least the people of the church are building their life on Jesus, and they're trying to follow Jesus. No one else will forgive you as quick as we will. No one else will help you as fast as we will. Why? Because we have awesomeness in ourselves. No, just because we stand next to someone who's really awesome, Jesus. And the comfort, Stacy, what's your wife called again? Stacy say this at the beginning. She said, the comfort that we ourselves receive from God is how we comfort each other. We're not just nice. Nice. Everyone's nice. Nice doesn't get you anywhere. We have God in our life, receiving from God. So I share with you, brother, a bit of God, a bit of Jesus, a bit of healing when you're sick, a bit of money when you're skint, a bit of encouragement when you're down. And if your life falls to bits, we'll help you. We'll catch you. Will you help me? Because mine might fall to bits next year. That's the church. Listen, he says, like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house. Is it possible to be a Christian and not go to church? Nah, not really. I mean, if I get a ball and go on the beach and kick it about, am I playing football? Well, sort of. Okay, you could say he's playing football. Other people would say he's just kicking a ball about. To actually play football, you need to be part of a team. You need to have a manager and a coach. You need to be trained by people who know what they're doing. You need to work with others and find your particular gift. Or then you're playing football. Then you're actually a footballer. To be a Christian and not be part of the church, it's like being a stone on its own. Even if you knock around with other stones, it's called rubble. When you come to church, Jesus builds you. Does it matter which church you go to? Honestly, it really does, actually. Why? Because Jesus decides who you're going to be sat next to, who you're going to work with. Jesus is building your life like a wall. You should know who's above you in that wall, who your leaders are, who is above you. I know my leader in the Lord just went to be with Jesus, Bob Keir, who taught me and Margaret about the Holy Spirit when we were teenagers, baptized us in the River Tees, and I still glow at night. And, you know, led us all the way through, taught us to love the Bible, took me on mission with him. He was our spiritual leader. God joined us together with Bob. And when he was 80 years old, a couple of weeks ago, he lied down and went straight to Jesus. No pain, no sickness, no heart attack, nothing. The coroner said, I think he must have had a blood clot in his heart. Yeah, I just went to Jesus, whatever. But he's just gone, you know, to Jesus. But you should know who your leaders are. If you're part of this church, it's Tom and Stacey, it's me, it's Margaret, it's us, it's Ian, it's people who are ahead of you in the Lord, who love you, who are looking out for you, who are praying for you, they'll guide you, they'll correct you if you're wrong, if they're good leaders. If they're wimps, they won't correct you if you're wrong. They'll just be nice. Morning. Great to see you. We're not little vicars here to bless you as you go out. We're spiritual leaders to help you walk to all the way to heaven with Jesus, like we've been walking since we were kids. Do we know everything? No. Do we know Jesus? Yeah, we do. Have we got some good advice for you? Definitely. It's all in the Bible, but it's in us as well. Because we've been walking with Jesus for 30, 40 years, yeah. We do know. Are we going to correct you and help you if you're going astray? Yeah. We'll warn you and help you. We want to look after you. That's church. Without that, not really church. And you just haven't got stones just above you. You've got stones next to you. Brothers and sisters who are going through the same things. Those with little kids are raising little kids at the same time. Those with kids are going to uni, you've got kids going to uni. Those who are old, you know, like Franco, you know, and getting ready to, like, pop the clogs. Then you know, there's other people going to pop the clogs, like Ian. They can be together in it. The point is, you've got peers as well in the church. You've got stones who God, okay, who's God putting next to you? Who are your brothers and sisters? Stuart should have been talking about this last week. Who are your brothers and sisters who you go to when you're skint, when you've sinned, when you've blown it, when you've failed? Who are they? You need them. You only get them in the church. Better than friends, brothers and sisters. Anyone have friends? These are brothers and sisters. They're following Jesus. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They'll pray for you. They'll help you. They'll fail you sometimes. You have to forgive them because they're people. And then there's stones underneath you. Who are you leading? Who are you helping? God has a plan for your life. There's people out there who Jesus loves. He's calling. They will never know unless we go and tell them, unless we go and love them, unless you go and help them, unless you go and pray for them, unless you go and win them in. Come to church. Come to Alpha. Let me help you. Let me, the stones out there that God will join to you that you are going to help look after. That's being built. Built together. Jesus said, Jesus didn't just say, I'll gather a lot of rubble. He said, I will build. I will build my church. I've got people who I've relationship with for all of my Christian life. Brothers and sisters who've walked with me in relationship all the way through. You need the same. But beyond friends, God joins you to certain people. God joined me with Ian. Do you know what me and Ian have in common? I'm slim and good looking and he really isn't. No. Me and Ian have nothing in common. I've hardly anything in common. People, lifestyle. We're on a different page. He was telling me about his school life and all that. I was telling him about, man, I thought, what was brought us together? Jesus brought us together. Jesus brought us together. Had a couple of coffees, had a couple of meetings, and Jesus joined us. You can feel it. For a purpose. He's got a plan. He's got a mission. Now look, you're here this morning. Let me just ask you two questions before we head in the direction of bacon sandwiches. Question number one. Have you come to him yet, personally? That living stone rejected by men, but chosen and precious to God, Jesus. Come to him this morning. Come to him on the Alpha course. Come to him. Come to him. And let him save you and forgive you and give you, make you a new person. That's how you become a Christian. That's easy. That bit's easy. It's for free. The gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. It's a gift. The next bit is hard. It's really hard to live the Christian life for the rest of your life till you get to heaven. Salvation is free. Being a Christian is really hard. You can't do it without the church. I just think it's impossible. You need to be joined together and built together as a family. That takes a lot of love and a lot of forgiveness, a lot of patience as Jesus builds you together, heals your heart, knocks the hard bits off. But you learn to forgive. You forgive your wife. You forgive your partner. You forgive your family. You forgive your mom. You forgive. You keep loving each other. Keep forgiving each other. And your life will be built and it will get better and better. And Jesus will he'll join you to people above you then. He'll show you who you should be listening to, who you should be connecting to, who you should be going with, who you should be following. He'll show you who your brothers and sisters are. He'll bring them along. He'll bring them along. If you're lacking any of these stones, ask Jesus today. He'll bring them along, who he's brought alongside you to encourage you. And also, what am I meant to do? Who am I meant to help? Who am I? You're not going to save the whole world. You're just meant to affect a couple of people for now. But there's a couple of people for now who can touch your life, whose life you can change for the better. Someone said to Mother Teresa, living in Calcutta, 2 million starving people, how are you going to feed 2 million people? She said, one at a time. One at a time. God has someone for you to affect at work and your family out there. Don't just invent it. You don't have to make it up yourself. Come to him. the living stone. Jesus, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with my time? It's not sitting in front of Netflix every night. And it's not just shopping every day. It's not just going to work, make enough money. That's how the world lives, who don't know God. We have a different purpose, a different plan. Yeah, we do the shopping and we go to work and we have holidays. But that's not what we're building our life on. What we're building our life on is getting to know Jesus and doing his will in our life. So, was that two questions or 24 questions? Anyway, one question is, are you going to him? Second question is, are you part of the church? Are you really part? Not just, yeah, go. No, that isn't it. It's this joining. So let me pray for you. And you can answer those two questions before the Lord now. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us, that you're for us, that you've chosen us to be adopted into your family and that you're never going to let us go. Thank you that your love never fails, your forgiveness never fails, or I, for one, would not be here today. I'd have been gone a long time ago. But thank you that your forgiveness is every day and your love is every day like the waves of that sea. And I just pray for my brothers and sisters now that you'd absolutely bless them with your Holy Spirit and that those who need to come to you would do it now. They'd just turn to you now in their heart and say, Jesus, yes, I'm coming to you. And those of you, those who are drifting or have been walking off, you'd get hold of them today and join them in. You'd call them back to you so they can be built. They can be put in the right place from you. It's so important, Lord, that we're in the right place at the right time to do your will. Show us, Lord, what that is. In the name of Jesus, amen.